Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh my goodness, Audrey. It is Tech Vibe Radio on a Wednesday night, and I'm very excited for two key reasons.
Why?
One, I'm wearing my Rolling Stone socks.
Are you?
I am, absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
I love that.
For the extra.
I bought him a beautiful set.
Yes, and I got a pair on right now just because I'm going to wear a set, I think, every Wednesday night between now and June 23rd when the Stones
are
on.
When we go see the Stones.
Go see the Stones because it's going to happen.
Are you really?
It's going to be good.
Oh, we will. No matter what, we're going.
No matter what, we're going.
Oh, my.
Even if I just stand outside the stadium.
No, we're going.
But we're going to go.
We're going.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Just don't let him anything other than hitting the game.
Exactly.
Get the tickets.
Exactly. But the real reason why I'm excited, on top of my Stone socks, if there's someone more rocking than the Stones, it's got to be Leah Lizarondo from 412 Food Rescue. Because she's bringing it, dude. That's all I'm saying.
That's insane.
No other introduction than that.
That's hard to beat.
It really is hard to beat.
Justify and hard to beat.
No, you're doing some good work that's near and dear to my heart. That's all I can say.
Because it's food?
Because it's food. And I hate seeing it being wasted.
I know you do.
And I'm.
You finish everyone's food.
If I've been riding my bike a lot, yes.
You have to.
Yeah, exactly. But we're so glad you got to stop by because I've been seeing the green 412 food rescue truck throughout the city.
Yeah.
And every time I see it, I'm like, oh my God, there's another couple tons of food
not
going to waste.
Yes.
And it's all because of you and the work you and your team have done over the years. And we want to tell that story tonight. So, yeah, welcome to the show.
Where do we begin?
Let's just tell the story of how great a love can be. where do we begin? We begin, right. I don't know, from our childhood.
Well, because honestly, I knew you from afar before this through Brazen.
Before this, yeah.
Through Brazen.
We didn't meet because of this, did we?
No, but I knew you from afar, but from Brazen.
Really?
That sound?
And we didn't meet at that time?
No, I just followed you, and I said, who is this woman writing all this stuff?
She stopped you a little bit.
And doing... No, I was like, because I, you know, food, you know, look at me. Food matters to me.
Does.
Okay.
So look at me.
And being a vegetarian and now a vegan, all that stuff matters to me. And you sort
You're
of...
You're a vegan now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
No
and
cheese,
all
dude.
Of this...
Uh-uh.
Wow.
All of this and your work.
I've actually gone vegan back to vegetarian.
Okay, good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Go, have at it.
My digs. But
you risk taker, you.
I know. You weakling, you. I know.
You lame food addict.
I know.
So,
yeah.
But so talk about. Let's just jump into 412. Where did it
come from?
Yeah, it started.
What was this idea, and you said I got to build a company around this.
It started in 2012 when the National Resources Defense Council released this report. I was still doing the food column for Pittsburgh Magazine, and it basically was the first report that said, you know, we're wasting 40% of our food, which was for me as someone interested in food, that's
right.
absolutely jarring.
Right.
What we all know, there's food waste. I mean, our parents would tell us to eat the food on our plate.
Right, you're not getting up.
Yeah, or yeah, because some other kid in some faraway continent was hungry.
Was hungry, right?
Yeah, and so you know, and I was just how inefficient is this system? And as someone who has worked at a farm, you know, that for me was even more.
Like, you worked on a farm?
Crazy. Yeah, well, there was a small urban farm in Stanton Heights that I would volunteer at. So so that was the first, the 2012. And then in around 2014, you know, I had, and even before that, you know, everyone has friends who's worked in restaurants or hospitality.
Sure.
And I've had friends throughout the years tell me, you know, I hate being on the last shift. You know, I have to throw out two bags of bread and why can't I give it to, you know, the homeless person, you know, on my way home? And, you know, and some people would take the two bags of bread and drop it off at a church. And there's so many of these stories from my food friends that they would do. And I said, well, what if there's, you know, more than one of you? Because there was. You know, what if there's 200 of you or 1,000 doing this every day, you know, and doing this, could we change food waste? Could we change hunger? And could we actually feed the homeless person waiting in the corner every single night? And so, you know, just started working with the East End Food Co-op, because that was, they were very nice and said, sure, we'll give you our food, leftover, surplus. And then I would take it to somewhere, I forget now where, but, you know, and then I would have friends and other friends sign on to do this. And I started
realizing that, wait a second, there's a technology solution behind this.
Exactly.
That could,
I'm
let
like,
people communicate and say, hey.
Yeah, this looks familiar.
There's some food about to go to waste, a Giant Eagle. Can someone pick it up and take it someplace? Because someplace needs that food. And so you're like, wait a second, technology can link people to people in need and everything around. Like, that's so powerful.
Exactly.
And building that's not simple.
Building it is not simple. So it's basically like I felt like I was a Postmates person, except, you
exactly.
know,
right.
not paid to do it, and I'm bringing free food from one place to another. And so, you know, all those drivers are coordinated by an app, and let's do the same thing. And that's how the app happened.
Right.
And the app is a fascinating concept on a couple of levels for me from afar.
Okay.
One is that we have entered sort of this era that about the way people volunteer and how they contribute. And I've been talking about this for over a decade, that you don't write checks, that you want to participate, you want to feel like you're having an impact. It's got to happen in chunks of time on your own terms. And you've been able to nail that.
That's on the money. No one ever points that out.
Very
good. Oh, I say this all the time.
Yeah, people just talk about
and she doesn't
app.
Even pay me.
I know.
I know. See?
God.
People talk about the app like it's a... That's the thing, you know, and it is a thing, but really it's all about a new way of living, right? It's like I'm not going to plan 4 hours of my Saturday 4 weeks from now because my plans might change and I'm
and
just
I don't
committed.
Commit.
Yeah, I'm committing to this 4 hours chunk of time.
But if I got 20 minutes.
I got 20 minutes now, I can look at the app and say, cool, there's this one thing that's kind of on my route. It's not a big hassle. I'll just pick it up and drop it off. And that's
making it easy. Making it easy
and
to do good.
That is what your work has shifted for me.
Right. And even in our own personal way we work in chunks of time. We don't anymore. We're a distracted society.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we
yeah.
just have to accept that.
Of course.
And it's, you know, and so volunteering has to change in the same way. And then this is the way to do it.
And I agree. And I think that you're onto something that has applicability outside of 412.
Yes.
Yes, that can scale to all types of different things if
correct.
You so choose to. So,
right. So this is really, it's all about human behavior. It's not about the app.
But let's just get, I mean, realistically, though, you have saved a lot of food.
Right, yeah.
So talk about that.
Yeah, give us a couple key stats. Let me take you go to break. So, yes.
Yeah, okay. So we've saved, this year we'll hit our this year's 2020 will hit our 10 million pound mark.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's in our fifth anniversary. In Pittsburgh.
20.
Yes. It's all kinds of food. About 87% of what we rescue are actually fresh food. And about 15 to 20% is bread. So, yeah.
There's nothing worse.
And who's it going to?
Right.
It's going everywhere, all over Allegheny County and the collar counties, as we call it.
Right.
It goes to about 600 nonprofits.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Leah Lizarondo from 412 Food Rescue. Just remind you, Tech Vibe Radio tonight. We also have Mike Nacy from Teletracking stopping by. And, of course, we also have our guys from Headstorm stopping by as well, too. So it should be a great show coming up in front of us. And I can't wait to get back and talk more to 412 and the great work that you guys are doing because you're scaling outside of 412. We think that is just fantastic. This is Jonathan Kirstein.
And this is Audrey Busseau.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Audrey, I'm so excited to be back. I promised we would be back.
Yes.
And we are back with more Tech Vibe Radio featuring, of course, Leah Lizarondo from 412 Food Rescue. Notice I didn't say 412.
Thank goodness. Yeah. That's when you know.
I'm cool like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're
that's
not
right.
from here
that's right.
when you say 412.
So here you are. You've got this app. You've got a milestone year, 10 million pounds saved, delivered.
Yeah.
Saved and delivered.
Yeah.
Saved, delivered, fed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Great story. I love the fact that we're changing the way people think about volunteering and engaging. To me, that's the best part of it.
Sure.
So now what? You're in other cities?
Yeah, we're in currently in six cities.
Six cities?
So what cities? Can you tell us?
So it's Philly, Cleveland, Manassas, and then Vancouver, San Francisco, and L.A.
Those are very different cities.
Very different
Manassas,
cities.
Virginia?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And how did they come upon you?
So they're all, you know, other nonprofits that approached us and said, you know, we want to do this in our city. Can we use your technology?
So basically, you know, you're like white labeling your technology.
Yes.
So you have like a clean app they can put their stuff onto.
Yes.
And your technology enables them to connect just the way you do.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. So now what? What's ahead for you?
What's ahead?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, 4&2 is on track to be in, you know, helping 100 cities in 10 years. That's so the goal by 2030.
100 cities.
100 cities. So
I think you're selling yourself short.
Yeah, I think you're going to do more.
I think it's going to be more than that. You're saying, wait, I'm doing the math on this.
I think it's going to be a mandate.
Yeah.
Well, that would be great. If laws change, you know, we never know what might happen. But
seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 100 cities. And then we're also, you know, beginning to experiment using the same model for other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this kind of on-demand, just-in-time volunteer network.
I know. I can see it.
You know,
I have like so many ideas.
There's so many things you can use it for, you know, and we have so much kind of, we don't have so much time, but we do have some time that we can give that is off the moment.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's kind of heading in the direction you're going anyhow to a certain degree, right? So it's not too far out of your way.
It doesn't have to be for driving.
Right.
You know, there could be other things that, you know.
You hear about an hour is needed.
Yeah, and it's
exactly.
Sometimes all about just proximity and not having that information of a need.
I wish there was something like an app in the neighborhood where there's people that they needed help like shoveling their snow.
Exactly.
Like so I'd be like, I'll shovel your snow for you real
correct.
Fast. Like, what the heck?
That's exactly what I mean. So the city has a Snow Angels program.
Right.
But, you know, it's by email and
right. I never know when. And I don't want to sign up if I can't do it.
Exactly.
And that's
but if
the
you
other
just,
thing.
There's, yes. So, but if it's getting pushed to you and there's no obligation, but if you see someone two doors down,
right.
Jonathan will totally say, I'll shovel that lady's, you know.
I'll shovel, but I won't scrape.
No, but right, we
can
create
exactly
an amount of giving that's actually so easy and so bite-sized.
Right, yeah.
It starts making this huge impact then.
Correct.
So I also have a theory that once you start doing some of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
I bet you there's some 4-1-2 food driving like addicts. Right.
Oh, there are.
Where
we
like,
have volunteers.
Are there?
Yeah, you get people that once they may have tried it casually, but when they start seeing the results and the impact, then they're always making that bagel run from wherever to wherever.
Yeah.
Really? So
we've
you have?
Yeah, we've had one individual do 600 by himself.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it's and you know 100,000 pounds of food just by himself. So there are people. We do have our 1%.
Your super
that's
users,
just
or whatever
super
it is.
Users that we know are always there and. You know,
we should meet some of these super users. Wouldn't
that
be
cool?
That's
a cool idea.
Yeah.
Right? Let's meet them.
And how this app's enabled them to be able to volunteer and give time and service.
Right.
Not just
see, I have one good idea.
She's got a couple good ideas.
So what's it like? Let's go back a minute. So here you are. You really are an entrepreneur building a company.
Hmm.
What's that been like?
I don't know. I think I talked to you a lot about this.
I think
entrepreneurs are all a little bit insane. You have to
I
be
like
a
that.
Little
it's a fine
bit
line.
It's a fine line. I think I didn't know that about myself.
Yeah.
How insane you were?
Yeah. Now I do. And I see other entrepreneurs and they have the whole crazy look in
mm-hmm.
their eyes. It's that you see them and
right,
you know,
right,
why
right.
would you put this upon yourself? Really?
But why would you? Why did you?
Yeah.
I think it's because, you know, it just had to be done. It was there. You know, it's like it's like Mount Everest. Why'd you climb it? It was there.
Yeah. I still find it amazing, though, when someone like you does actually say they're going to follow through because you're going to have to give up doing some other things. And at the same time, you're someone that you could be doing like anything else that you would want to do. So obviously this was big enough in your mind to say, this is what I'm going to do. And saying, I'm putting some other things aside. This is what I'm going to focus on.
It was at least worth a try. Yeah. And I think that's why it started. It's just, well, let's see where it goes. And then it's one foot after the other and one step.
It's too late now.
It's too late.
Well, this part, you're
that's right.
There's no
it's
turning
like, oh
back.
Oh, my God, what have I done?
There's no turning back.
Yeah.
So in terms of what you've learned about yourself,
mm-hmm.
Just a couple of things. We don't need to reveal much, but reveal something.
Tell us something good.
Is this the Oprah part?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have a box of Kleenex here.
For him, not for me. Not for me. I won't cry.
Well, I mean, a lot of things I learned, I don't know about myself. I mean, aside from the fact that it's, you know, there's a thin line between insane and entrepreneur. It's really about developing new skills, like, or, you know, morphing into someone with thicker skin. You know, it's like that's the biggest thing, and letting things not stick, you know, that you don't need to stick. And I think that's a lot of the survival of entrepreneurs is learning to do that, because everyone has opinion. Everyone's a Monday night quarterback. You know, there's always a better way to do it than the way you did it, you know, and it's just at the end of the day, you just that's all noise.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is letting go of your ego, you know, and really taking it, internalizing the fact that if you don't ask, the full answer is no. Right? So a lot of people are scared to, I was scared to ask in the beginning, you know, man, I'm going to get rejected. He or she's going to say no. If I didn't ask, the answer is no.
Exactly.
And so you detach yourself from that outcome and just ask, because 50% of the time, it's not going to be no, you know, so.
So learning that sales side.
Yeah,
well.
Learning to accept, you know, learning to ask the question so that you're open to a yes instead of scared of a no.
Well, there's also this kind of mystique mm-hmm. about entrepreneurism mm-hmm. and that it is something in terms of glory.
Glory.
Right?
It is. I mean, it's
I don't see you as a glory seeker myself.
It's thankless, yeah. For sure. I mean, no one is there to give me a promotion, right? Or a raise, you know.
It's or like, a performance review.
Or a performer for, well, actually, the board gives me.
The board right. does that.
It's
okay.
Like, so it's all up to you. Your own momentum is up to you. There's no cadence to it unless you dictate that cadence, which is not like when you're working for someone. You're... Mm-hmm. Well, you get your pat in the back pretty regularly because that's how HR wants it. But, you know, otherwise you don't get that.
Well, listen, I think that you're going to soar. I think this is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think you have unlocked the way that people volunteer, not just about food. And I can't wait to get a check back in at the end of the year, because I think we'll be cheering you, and I think you'll be surprised.
Thank you.
Onto something. Without we're proud.
It means a lot.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. We're in awe of what you're doing, what your team is doing, because we know it's not an easy thing. And it was great to just learn a little bit more about it. And let people know if they go to 412 Food Rescue, they can download the app and save some food and feed some people.
Yeah. And help. And actually help learn how to volunteer.
Volunteer.
Everyone
right.
can
all
volunteer.
All in half an hour.
Transformative stuff, man, all the way around. I love
That's
it,
great.
Man. That's cool.
Thanks,
cool.
you guys.
Hey, we're taking
Thank
a quick
you.
Break. We got more Tech Vibe coming your way. This is Jonathan Kersting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And once again, we are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that every single time. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Thanks so much for keeping dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kersting hanging out here with Adam Polisic from Headstorm. Really happy to have you in the studio with us tonight, Adam. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan, for having me.
Yeah, it's always cool. Like, it's one of these deals where I met up with you, oh my gosh, it's probably about maybe 2 months ago, down in Homewood, just checking out some of the work that you're doing, and I'm learning about what you're doing with Headstorm. I'm like, Adam, you got to, like, stop over. Be part of Tech Vibe Radio. And I wish Audrey was here to be with me right now, but she's in six places at once. So I'm like, well,
at least.
I'm like, you and I are just going to talk.
That sounds great.
As far as that goes. So I'm glad you're here. So first off, Adam, I always like to start things off with, who is Adam Polisic?
Well, I think you covered a lot of it from where we met. I mean, I'm a returning Pittsburgher. I think they call that a gumbander here,
like,
as opposed to
gumband,
a boomeranger. Yeah, that's definitely.
And gumband is better than saying rubber band, because gumband is a definitive Pittsburgh term.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, I've committed. So I grew up outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
You know, kind of went around the world a few times. About 7-8 years ago, moved back from London, England, after being a serial entrepreneur a couple times over and finding myself on another continent, came back here for, you know, family and the region, and like everyone else, is sort of the cliche surprise of just how excited I was.
I like Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think I'd always loved Pittsburgh, but it was nice to sort of experience it 30, 40 years after we had been through this other evolution.
Absolutely.
You know, and just to be among, you know, technologists, you know, from all shapes and sizes.
Yeah. No, very cool. Very cool. And so, I mean, basically, with all this startup
experience that you have. You're back here in Pittsburgh. And like I said, I could take this story like in 16 different directions. So this is like really difficult for me because you're doing so many cool things. But the big thing we're going to talk about, obviously, is Headstorm. But
sure.
you come to Pittsburgh here and you can do anything you want. And you decide you're going to lead up Headstorm here in Pittsburgh. And Headstorm's a really unique firm in fact that it's using the design-led engineering
sure.
to solve not just problems, but pretty complex problems and problems that there's got to be some good to at the end of the day, right? These are problems. It's not just developing tech for tech, but it's developing some tech that's really improving the quality of people's lives and producing a positive result, I guess,
yeah.
for lack of a better term. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Okay.
You know, so I've been really fortunate. So my path to Pittsburgh was a series of stops along a bunch of geeky, data-driven startups.
Okay.
You know? So started in private equity, did this really interesting early-stage company called Buzzmetrics with lots of other folks around, actually leveraging Pittsburgh talent from CMU to do a lot of the natural language processing.
Where else would you go? They're kind of known
sentiment
for that.
Analysis. Yeah, this is now getting,
that's cool.
It's starting to age me, right? It's 15 plus years ago that people were extracting everything from the internet. And before, you know, Facebook was anything but a college kid network and YouTube was acquired by, you know, Google, we were having these moments of
yeah.
taking all these unstructured conversations and slicing and dicing it. And, you know, that went into a series of opportunities with the Nielsen company. That's what landed me in Europe for a while. So I didn't get sleep deprived, you know,
okay.
balancing the, sort of the North American time zones with the Asia Pacific ones while sitting in Europe. And when I came back, I wasn't actually that sure about what I was going to do. So we got the band back together, did another
yeah.
geeky data startup, really started to see the power of data engineering
Absolutely.
And design-led engineering, which you already covered. So I wasn't quite as articulate as maybe I try to be now. I didn't have near the smart people through, you know, Maya Design, which was a Pittsburgh-based firm that
you
I ultimately
those guys well, yes.
yeah, and ended up with. But I started thinking a lot about why was it that engineers were sort of the last people to inform the why, and were oftentimes just sort of digesting the what needs to happen and lots of wireframes and screens.
Exactly.
You know, as it turns out, engineers are curious people and we do things like, you know, eat food and...
You do?
Yeah,
I thought
do,
she
yeah.
just crunched algorithms all day long.
That's like right. That. But, you know, we get on planes, we go to retail, you know, environments, we get in cars, all the normal kind of consumer behaviors. And so it was a miss on a lot of kind of early dynamics where these waterfall products were being built. You know, people would spend 6, 12, 18 months building something, especially in large companies, only to kind of consistently be handing engineers that by the time they got the requirements were out of date by the time they
finished
them.
Of course, that's the way it works.
So you know, out of all these startups, I actually took some time off. I built the shop, which you met me at Homewood.
Right. We need to have you back for a whole separate segment just on the shop because the work you're doing there, I think, is just transformative.
Well, thanks. Yeah, well, theshop.org, I mean, it's, you know, it's the my heart and soul. You know, I have been learning now, actually, if you can imagine it, more than 3 years from this really incredible and very, unfortunately, underutilized community called
right.
Homewood, where there's been decades of people doing much harder and much more interesting things than I was. But I had an opportunity a few years ago with my wife to renovate about a 6,500 square foot space and actually turn it into something called Bring Only Your Talent, meaning we partnered with Comcast to bring in really interesting technology equipment. We partnered with some local businesses, including a barbershop from a resident that had grown up just a few streets away, and created this multi-use community workspace where everybody could just show up and use the equipment provided by
Comcast. That's what I'm talking
Comcast
about.
And just,
yeah.
and just do their thing, right? Because as you know, that being an entrepreneur, it's like a big pipe dream, but the average person doesn't have $1,000 sitting around for an iPad and
exactly.
$400 a month for a membership. So thanks to the generosity of a lot of folks, we've been able to kind of piece that
bringing
together.
Bringing tools to some people that you know, can really make a difference.
Yeah. Well, and the Homewood Children's Village, who's really our operating partner
right.
with this, and the Forbes Funds, who's, you know, given us counsel along the way, really led us and opened our brain and applied all these human-centered and engineering design techniques to show really talented service oriented businesses and sort of technology-enabled businesses how to use technology, you know, kind of on the fly. Anyways, after a few months of building all that and hanging about 10,000 square foot of drywall,
exactly.
I was...
There is quite a bit of drywall.
Yeah, that's right. I was lucky enough to bump into Maya Design. And, you know, for those that aren't familiar with Maya, you know, 30 years, you know, history, born out of the fires of Carnegie Mellon, really was a pioneer on a number of fronts for design thinking and really helped me understand just how different it was to be a capital D designer from a lowercase d designer.
Interesting,
so,
man.
You know, the idea
point.
Of shaping all the experiences.
Totally.
The information, the systems, you know, and those interfaces and not just those interfaces. And so I spent a number of years, you know, with Maya, inclusive of the acquisition of the Boston Consulting Group that came in. I was working with the local division here, BCG Platini and Maya Design. I was functioning.
I was both happy and sad when BCG bought Maya, because it was like,
should be happy.
I mean,
should
it's
be
cool because it means Maya continues, but at the same time, wasn't the Maya that I knew for like 20 plus years before that that just did the most insane, coolest projects? Like,
Well, I think the good news, and to the credit of BCG, I would say this even if we weren't getting recorded, is that, you know, BCG is what I'd call like a blank sheet consulting firm, meaning that they really approach problems in innovative and unique ways. And they don't accept sort of the been there, done that playbooks, which is sometimes the default of really established consulting practice. So they were not only really excited to kind of lead with digital transformation, but actually took a really fresh look on what that meant. So, you know, empowering the engineers to continue to be designers, right? The visual designers to continue to be researchers, and the researchers to shape things like hardware and information architecture.
Absolutely.
And so we did that over a number of years, and really all it did was create this incredible opportunity for Maya to not only have a North American impact, even though we had some international focus, but really expand.
Into the
Fortune 500, whereas, you know, BCG
lives.
And one of the hats, you know, you play, in it, you know, at Maya, I was the chief customer officer, which is a, you know, nice way of saying I was always out there trying to find the next thing. playing the role of chief product officer, you know, led me to understand, you know, this balance of both delightful products and utility that's formed when you're building software or creating this momentum around digital transformation. And as I explored over the next couple of years, doing some of the most interesting and kind of large moving factors for really big organizations in the U.S., it actually illuminated just how important design engineering was going to be.
Absolutely.
And the ability to focus those projects on impact. Now, BCG is an incredible organization, does a tremendous amount of impact. Their foundation, I want to say it actually gives back almost 2% of the total balance sheet in pro bono services
about.
Every
Very
year.
Cool.
So it's a real addition to Pittsburgh, and it's going to be continuously going to be an anchor.
Right.
I just miss building stuff in the way that
so
I
now
want.
You can build stuff with HeadStorm.
That's right.
So what does HeadStorm build at the end of the day? Like what are the types of projects that HeadStorm is?
We are a product and engineering firm that builds custom software and does data transformations and data pipelines for really large organizations. Probably 90% of our clients are billion-dollar plus brands, and not just based in Pittsburgh and Dallas,
where we have
offices. Yeah, we're lucky enough to dance around, you know, the West Coast and the East Coast.
And how did you link up with the guys at HeadStorm to make Pittsburgh one of their offices?
One of the fortunate things that BCG, you know, allowed me to kind of explore was what are the right relationships and sort of thought partners around these kind of really deep technical problems we have to solve around data engineering and data transformation, let alone building custom software. I mean, there's a different profile for someone who can be both a consultant and a technologist versus somebody who wants to go down to the hardware.
Of course, yeah.
Right, and get to the metal on the engineering side.
Absolutely.
So we had operated in sort of a number of similar circles. I had met HeadStorm when I was in and out of Dallas, Texas, which thankfully is connected really conveniently by American Airlines.
Yes. You can hit
three, four times a day.
Exactly.
Yeah,
one of the
cities. Yeah, I think I can actually leave my house on the east end of Pittsburgh and be in a meeting in Dallas, Texas by 9:30 a.m.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you could get there. So to the credit to the American Airlines and the CEO, she keeps on pumping, you know, these incredible flights and these directs through the region and all the
I'm glad to hear that. I mean, the airport's glad to hear that too.
Yeah, it's the 91st neighborhood. I'm excited too.
So you're growing now. You're actually moving out of, you were kind of based out of the shop for a while.
That's right. So
and now you're going into Lawrenceville, which is pretty cool.
That's exactly right. Like true startup fashion, even though we have, you know, quite a contingent, I think about a 15,000 square foot office here in Dallas, you know, we are growing quickly in Pittsburgh. You know, we're already in the kind of double digits capacity and moving into the old Moss Architects office in Lawrenceville. So, you know, big windows, lots of plants, really good environments
awesome.
For design.
How
thinkers.
Exciting is that to now be growing something in Lawrenceville?
It is. Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, we came out to the market with a proposition, you know, aligned to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, right?
Yes.
So we do impact engineering, which means we work with businesses and use cases that specifically drive quality of life. So healthcare companies in the region, we are thinking about things like telemedicine and how to support and ultimately grow the ability to service rural markets. For the, you know, real depth we have in agriculture technology, seeds and feed.
See, that impressed me when you were at our Beyond Big Data Summit talking about that. I was like, that's what I'm talking about, man. You're feeding people here.
Yeah, well, there's got to be some benefit to being a recycled entrepreneur, right? I mean, you get to be more
flexible
as it goes on. And even the CMU professor in me realizes that, you know, everybody wants to be able to measure down to the wire what our impact practice. And I'm not in, you know, company alone here in Pittsburgh, right? We have natural gas companies that are leading on inclusivity and diversity. We have, you know, economic development driving from all shapes and sizes, you know, law firms to technology companies, autonomous cars at the top of the list. But we also have leading organizations like the Giant Eagles of the world that are committing to really interesting sustainable goals. And
no more plastic bags.
No more plastic anywhere. I mean, I think that's the idea. But these companies are looking now to retool and bring in capability. Right. And so the Headstore model is really all about augmenting those organizations for a short period of time and not displacing jobs.
And how cool is that you're here in Pittsburgh doing that? Man, we need to have you stop back again, Adam, because you have so much going on. And you're like, I always say, we need like 100 more of you in Pittsburgh doing what you're doing. Because, man, your hands are a little bit everywhere. At the end of the day, it's making Pittsburgh better. You're making the world better, too. So I can't thank you for stopping by. If people go, headstorm.com?
Headstorm.com.
They can check it out. And how about for the shop?
That's theshop.org.
That's easy enough. Even I can remember that. Adam Paul's like, you're the best, man.
Thanks, Jonathan. Really appreciate
it. Great stuff. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We've got more Tech Vibe coming your way. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Tech Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Welcome back, everybody. You know, Audrey, sometimes there are companies in Pittsburgh, they keep growing. They keep
And they've been around for a while. You know, when people think about our tech scene being relatively new,
right.
This company's been around.
Like a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Mike Nacy in the house. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah. From Teletracking Technologies.
How long has Teletracking been around?
Teletracking's been around for more than 25 years. And I think we're coming up on like 27 here, something like that.
Wow. So it's, and you've been there for...
I've been there for 20 years this year.
Congratulations. So I started out, do you get a pin?
Yeah.
He gets a pin.
I get a sticker.
A sticker. A sticker is good.
The gold star. No.
That's nice. Good work.
Yeah.
And so what has your career journey been?
I mean, my career journey has been maybe pretty interesting. I've done four or five jobs in the company as it's grown over the years. I started out as a network systems engineer and went from there to become a developer and then a software architect and then a manager. And then now I am the director of engineering for our data platform at Teletracking.
Very cool, man.
Really great. So give us the quick pitch on what Teletracking is.
Sure. So Teletracking is a logistics software company in the healthcare vertical. We create software for hospitals to increase patient flow, to optimize patients coming in and out of the hospital. Our mission is that patients will never wait for the care that they need. And we accomplish that mission by optimizing all the hospital operations so that they can operate more efficiently, faster, and allow the caregivers more time to deal with patients and less time worrying about the day-to-day business.
So like if I'm sitting in the emergency room and then I'm going to be admitted, so instead of me waiting 12 hours to be admitted.
Right. So our goal is instead of you waiting 12 hours to be admitted, we want to make sure that before you even go to the ER, for instance, let's say that you see your doctor and your doctor says, hey, you should probably go get some tests or you should do this. We want to make it so that when you arrive at the ER, the place where you really need to go, which is not in the ER, is ready for you. And you're not sitting there waiting with other folks who are probably sick.
Probably that's not even better.
Best. Yeah, exactly.
That's even better.
Well, I mean, all the way around, I mean, you're saving money, you're saving time, you're saving patients' time, you're easing minds. There's a little bit of everything kind of going on there to making healthcare just a ton more efficient.
Right, right.
So you've been having fun. You've been in quite a few jobs, and obviously you've been there for two decades, which isn't that common. And so are you hiring?
Oh, we're really hiring.
That's the whole point of this
You're
spot,
really
man.
Hiring. Absolutely. So tell us
That's
about
what
that.
I was saying
yeah,
earlier on.
So one of the great things about the company is, you know, we have really a lot of things we want to do, and we need people to do it, you know. So we're looking at expanding into new areas. For instance, we are working on some machine learning and AI projects. We want to bring some of the intelligence that you see in the financial and manufacturing and supply chain logistics industry into the healthcare industry to help them solve their problems.
This is probably currently not being done by anybody else. I'm assuming it's something that Teletracking is going to be pioneering here, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty new. I think the healthcare field is maybe a little behind in that area compared to some of the other ones. A little bit, but that's okay. You know, they're caregivers, not technologists, right? And so we want to help them focus on what they're good at, and we want to do what we're good at. Yeah. And
give them those tools that just brings it all together,
right?
As far as it, and those, and these tools you're talking about, these are not easily created. At the end of the day, this is some serious engineering going on to make this stuff happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tell us more about that.
Well, some of the stuff that we are doing is we are working on predictive scheduling for different things. Like one of the things we have in the future is scheduling of the ER rooms and how those are utilized.
It kind of knows when it's going to be busy and quiet based on historical trends and things
historical
like
trends.
That. Right. Okay.
Census scheduling is one of our big projects we're working on.
And census scheduling?
Sure.
Okay. Tell us about that. Yeah.
So depending on how many patients are in a hospital, the hospital has to schedule a certain number of nurses to be working that day,
and
all the other folks that take care of patients. And, you know, obviously they want to maintain a good ratio of nurses to patients, but they don't want too few and they don't want too many.
Exactly.
And when they don't have the right amount and they have to get some on short notice, they might end up paying quite a bit of money to get people to come in or attempts to come in or anything like that. And so we want to help them with their staffing needs by making sure they have the right people there.
These are things I never think about, but are obviously like huge challenges. And, mm-hmm. and to be able to solve those is pretty amazing stuff, and especially in something like healthcare, because as Audrey and I always say, I mean, these are people's lives here, and it's the quality of your life, mm-hmm. and this is all going towards making it better.
Absolutely.
So you have all these jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it so great to work there? I mean, you should be the perfect testament.
Sure, sure. I think the reason why it's so great to work at Teletracking, I mean, number one, we have a mission that I think is worth doing. When you can help a nurse or someone like that that's taking care of patients, when you can make a patient's life easier, that's way better than getting a few more dollars from an advertisement, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's number one. I think number two is, you know, being a small to mid-sized company and being pretty agile and startup-like, I think if you have a great idea, you can make a real impact. You know, whereas at some of the larger companies, maybe
you're just smaller gear in there.
Right, you're just
you can sell more advertising.
Right. You know. So I always like to tell people, you know, if you have a good idea and you have something behind it, it could be, you know, implemented in a week or two.
Definitely.
You know, whereas larger companies, maybe in a year, your boss will talk to his boss and
something will happen, right?
Some approval.
So immediate impact. So what are the types of positions exactly that you are hiring for? I know there's a number of levels and types of engineers and so forth. What exactly are we looking at here?
Well, I'd say we're looking for we have several positions we're looking for. One would be, you know, your kind of, I don't want to say standard software engineer, but your full stack software engineer. Specifically in my team, we're looking for data engineers, big data folks, and machine learning specialists, those who are kind of used to using some of that newer cutting-edge technology that we use to ingest large amounts of data and do great computation on it.
Very cool. Wow. So these are tough positions to find, first off. I mean, these are just not run-of-the-mill positions. Mm-hmm. And if people want to nerd out about these things and kind of comb through, obviously go to teletracking.com.
Yes, yeah, teletracking.com, and I think it's /careers. I'm not sure.
Okay.
There'll be a career.
I know you have a huge career button there somewhere because you're hiring close to 30 people.
That's really exciting.
Over the next 6 months or so, which I think is just absolutely amazing. And I know one thing, we've had Teletracking on the on Tech 5 quite a few times over the years, and Audrey and I always love being able to talk a little bit more about the culture as we kind of started to talk about a few minutes ago, but maybe diving a little bit more into like why it's so important. I mean, obviously, we know that you're a bigger cog in the machine there, having more of an impact. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as like the environment, you have great benefits there. I think altogether, every time I've been over there, people are like having fun. They're engaged while they're solving these tough problems. Give us more about what it's like, you know, as one of these people would experience a day in their life at Teletracking Technologies.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, we have great benefits. We have competitive salaries. I think we have a fun environment, and we have a great group of people that love to work together to solve problems. And we really try to, you know, take every good idea, every innovation that we can get out of our folks and turn it into something valuable. And I think that's an environment that people like to work in.
Absolutely. And you're in downtown Pittsburgh, pretty central.
Yeah.
And, you know, they won Culture Leader of the Year.
I'm glad you brought that up, Audrey.
Tech 50.
I completely forgot. That's a huge deal.
I did.
That's why I'm glad you're here.
Gee, isn't that special?
What can I say? I get credit when credit's due.
And I think that's something that the leadership at Teletracking has been pretty adamant about and passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something we take very seriously. You know, we value our people, and we want to treat them well. And, you know, like I said, in a small company like ours, you can have access to folks that you would never have access to in a large company.
Definitely.
Like, if you wanted to have an office conversation with our president, you could probably do that without scheduling it a year in advance.
So, year in advance.
these are kind of the things that we offer that maybe some other companies don't offer.
And so what's it like to work for you?
Oh, well, I'm the best boss ever.
No, rumor has it.
Yes. Rumor has it. No. No, I think for me, I'm really interested in people that are talented and want to use their talent and ideas for the benefit of the whole team, right? So for me, one of the things I really enjoy is teamwork. And I really appreciate my team. I think they're a great team. I think they pull together well. Even when the chips are down, I think they support each other. And I really appreciate that.
Definitely. And so, Audrey, one other thing. They were also, the year before Tech 50, the last Tech 50, they were the health IT provider.
Oh, that's right. They won quite a few awards.
I know. It's like every year they line up and they win stuff because they're doing some pretty transformative work as far as that goes. And I just think it's fantastic. You guys are in hiring mode, which is absolutely amazing.
It is exciting.
It's like another, 25, 30 people you're trying to add, I think, by September or something.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, if you go to the website, check it out at teletracking.com, and make sure you look at it. And if you have friends, I'm saying spread the word. Great place to work. Great mission. What more do you want?
Thank you for coming on the air.
Yeah, great to be here.
Appreciate it.
And that's teletracking.com. You can go out there, see what they're about, look at their careers, and join them.
Yeah, maybe apply. I'll tell you what. Anyhow, another tech vibe under the belt, Audrey. And, sometimes people get a little sad at the end. They're like, but I want to keep
listening.
Yeah,
but we're back. We're always back.
I want to hear more stories about Teletracking, but there's no worries about that because, man, just go into iTunes. Just go over to Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We have so much content about great stories like Teletracking, hiring 30 people in Pittsburgh. So,
Nice. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Mike Nacy with Teletracking.
Great. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And we're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, helping tech companies succeed since 1983, which is kind of crazy. And like we said, we'll see you next Wednesday.